Were these meetings face-to-face? The meetings you had with...
With
Abu Sayyaf, yeah.
No.
How would you feel about doing that?
I think that'd be quite awesome. I think my heart would be beating a million miles a minute.
I bet.
Yeah, but yeah, wouldn't that be neat? Or if my boys could meet those guys and pray
with them.
How
would they feel about it? How old are your boys?
22 and 18. I think they're here tonight unless
they
bailed.
Where are they? Where are the boys? There they
Woo-hoo.
Are. Hey, guys. All right. That would be some meeting. Steve, would you recommend that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
You only live once.
All right. Got a question here.
Would you, Grace, share some of the story about how you were captured and held hostage and how you escaped?
Martin was called to work on the island of Palawan to fill in for a pilot who had an emergency in his family and had to go back to the States. So before we started some heavy flying on that island, our anniversary was right around the corner, and Martin had just been on a trip overseas and had jet lag, so we went to this kind of resort area for one night. And while we were there, before dawn, the morning we got there, there was pounding on the door. Even before Martin got to the door, these three guys with M16s broke the door in, and it took him out. One of them came over to the bed and lowered his weapon at me and yelled, "Go, go, go." And I grabbed clothes, and they were emptying all of the little cottages that were built on stilts out over the water, took us down to a waiting speedboat. And as we pulled away from the dock, they raised their weapons and yelled, "Allah Akbar, God is the greatest." And that's when we knew who had us, the Abu Sayyaf. They've declared jihad in that area of the world. And that began a year of starving and running through the jungle, trying to avoid the military, the Philippine military, who was trying to come in and rescue us, witnessing the atrocities that these guys committed against villagers. After a bit longer than a year, we were in captivity in our 17th gun battle. Martin was killed, and I was wounded in the leg, but was rescued and got to come home to raise my children. And that's it in a nutshell.
Obviously, a little more to it than that. What a tale that is. Any more questions in the audience right now? Can we see any more? All right. Let's. I'm curious. When you guys listen to that story about reconciliation, what goes through your mind?
I think what goes through my mind is the reconciliation that I've personally had with God, and how He speaks that through circumstance over and over, and allows us to see the way that He cares for us and the way that He reconciled us to Himself through the death of His own Son on the cross. So that's the story over and over.
Peter?
You said it beautifully, but in addition, I feel walking with Him, talking with Him, with Wings of Mercy, it is an absolute plain as day that He leads and guides and protects us as we go along, and we are visionaries for the future. I see Wings in the next 10, 15, 20 years to be throughout most of the U.S., and without Him, we couldn't do it.
What, I want to shift gears here just a little bit. We've been talking about more serious and weighty stuff than this, but this is an important subject at this place, and that is, you know, the way people outside of our world of aviation perceive aviation. And you know, I don't think these stories are well told or explained to the general public. Walt, what can we do to get the world to know the good things that come out of people in airplanes, not just fat cats and big corporate jets, but the people that help you do what you do?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of help this last year. I think, you know, starting with the General Motors faux pas, you know, flying to D.C. asking for a bailout in their G5. The attacks began on private aviation, general aviation, and I think the NBAA and AOPA and the General Aviation Manufacturers Association
and EAA,
have done a good job of telling the story of and it's really come even here, you know, to have a tent dedicated to the Fly for Life tent, where people can see what generally, but displaying it here at Oshkosh is not telling the world, it's telling us.
It's preaching to the choir a little bit.
Yeah. So you know, there are stories now being told on NBC News, and they're good stories, and they tell the story about people using their G5s to fly, wounded soldiers to Walter Reed, or people using their private airplanes to fly. You know, there are great stories now being told. And I think we just have to keep that going so that we educate the general public, because the general public does not know. There's a general feeling there's 1% fat cats that have airplanes, and only 1% of those use them for good, and 99% don't have a clue. So
what do you do to try to get the word out? Or do you just wait for reporters to call you, or do you work
well,
with that?
Well, you know, I'm a fairly small organization, so our volunteers will sometimes say, there are stories that show up in the news probably on a weekly basis that our volunteers actually help generate. I don't have the time to spend with because it takes a day to do a story or whatever, and I'm busy scheduling missions. So we've been fortunate to have some good stories told, and a good number of them come as a result of our volunteers, like bringing the local press, or if they're bringing someone home on a leave, they tell the story, and it's a high visibility kind of a thing. People have a visceral response to taking care of our wounded soldiers, so it's an easy story to get out. There's a fair amount out there if you look at it.
I mean, they're all good story. I mean, I've been absolutely captivated. Pete, what do you think? I mean, is this the good news story for general aviation, for small planes?
Well, that's true. I was in the media for 30 years, and
but you're recovering now, right?
And as you know, being with CNN, it's bad news that makes the headlines. If it's rotten, it'll be right on page one. And if it's good, well, maybe a little strip like that or something. And we have been fortunate in having support in the Western Michigan area, Grand Rapids, Holland, Zeeland, Muskegon, but it was hard to come by. And then it began to grow, and it got stronger and stronger. And now we're recognized of being a worthy organization. The last fundraiser that we had in Muskegon at the Muskegon County Airport, we have a breakfast and we have a fly-in, and over 2,000 people from the Muskegon area came in that day, that morning, for breakfast and so on and so forth. So the news is out there, but you know about news. If it's bad news, front page, first headline of the local news on Channel 8 in Grand Rapids in the morning is a murder or a rape.
Well, maybe that's why they're all going out of business.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe so. Steve, you know, this issue that I'm talking about here, I suppose if you're flying missionary missions in a jungle somewhere, the least of your worries is, you know, airspace restrictions in the Washington defense zone. But it's important that what you guys do get out too, right?
Yeah. You know, the EAA has had a major impact on what we do in the Indigenous Peoples Technology and Education Center, because no matter what we did in teaching people, I mean, frontier people that can't read and write, in some cases, have no access to medical care, dental care, we've been teaching them to do that. We build our own equipment, but people kept saying, well, maybe these people could do something like that, but they couldn't do something else. And I kept thinking, what is there that we could teach them to do that will stop people saying, hey, these are inferior people? And I finally thought, aviation. What if we taught them to build airplanes? Now, my dad had a plane, 156 Hotel, that I got to fly in the movie End of the Spear, because there were no stunt pilots in the movie industry that wanted to fly a plane that was built closer to the Wright brothers' first flight than to today in Panama, you know, where you fly over the canal at the wrong time, they shoot you down. So I got to be the stunt pilot in it. But my dad's plane, 56 Henry or 156 Hotel, was built here in the States and used down the jungles. Now we're building RV-10s and Xena 701s and 801s down in the jungles in a rapid builder assist program. So professionals and people from up here with resources are going down there, and some of the grandchildren of the very men that killed my dad are taking them by the hand and taking them from station to station and teaching them how to build an airplane. I think that's too cool.
Wow, I should say.
And I fly one of them. Wow. I took off from Central Florida, flew to Lexington, Kentucky, flew here unrefueled, and have enough fuel to make it to Minnesota in a plane that's completely autopilot, glass cockpit, 200 miles an hour, very efficient, and built down in Ecuador. Isn't that a turnaround?
How did you get that idea?
Because I figured if these people can build an airplane and it's worked, and I say, oh, you don't think they could build a house? Well, they built my airplane. And, you know, suddenly people, their eyes glaze over a little bit, and they're saying, you're putting me on. But Jesse and Gallo, my son, and Gallo Ortiz, who runs the shop down there, are both here.
All right,
and
so let's get the
one of the RV-10s is out there.
Where are these guys?
Oh, they're in trouble if they didn't come. The end number on my plane is 256 Hotel. It's an RV-10 out there with new wing fillets on it. You can see the kind of work that they do down there. But the EAA is the organization that made stuff like that possible. And the flying car. I mean, who can imagine designing a flying car in the restrictive environment that we live in without the EAA running interference? So my hat's off to the EAA. I love being a part of it and part of what you guys are doing.
Gracia, you agree with that?
Yeah, this has been an awesome opportunity that they gave Fly for Life a chance to put our best foot forward. 32 mission organizations or humanitarian organizations are working together. That in itself is a miracle. You know, each of our organizations run well when we're running them, but for us to work with you and with you and with you to do all this week has been fantastic, and this has been our chance to let the world know what we're doing. But maybe it's not such a big deal that we let a gob of people know. I think it's good for us who have a heart for the unreached and the needy to challenge one person, because if one other person will get involved, if we look beyond ourselves and do what we can for the outside world, I think we can change the world. Maybe it's not such a, you know, millions need to know this is going on. Maybe if each of us will tell someone else and another tell someone else. And so EAA has been a good springboard. We are so thankful for this opportunity.
I'm so not worthy to be among you all. So thank you for, it's a privilege. And everybody's gonna be here at the show for pretty much the whole week. Starting with Walton down the line. If people wanna connect with you one way or another throughout the week, what's the best way to do that?
We have a trailer right next to the Warbird Cafe, Veterans Airlift Command trailer. And we're around there most of the time if we're not flying in the air show.
Okay, Veterans Airlift Command. Pete, if folks wanna track you down, where are they gonna find you?
Look for my beautiful wife. No, I don't know. We're staying in somebody's. You want to hear something?
Yeah, we do.
I tell you, this really gets me. We were invited by EEA to Wings of Mercy to be here and to have a place here, and my wife and I talked about it. Yeah, we'd like to go on the board. It's going to go, and some, and finally, we better start calling and get a reservation. We could not find a hotel or a motel within 100 or 150 miles.
Yeah, there's a big show here at this time.
I tell you. And finally, one of our board members, Bob Gerink, called the office and says, I'll drive my motorhome down for the man in Boston to stay. And he takes his motorhome, puts it on the ship, out of Ludington, over to Wisconsin, and that we're staying in that motorhome, and he did that on his own from his heart.
Wow! And you got to see this motorhome. It's a full zip code.
Gorgeous.
It's unbelievable. It is
gorgeous.
Big. I'm telling you, this is. All right, so Steve, if folks want to connect with you, how are they going to do that?
Well, if you look for the mast on the Maverick, the flying car, it sticks up about 28 feet into the air. You can find some of us at the base of that, or the movie plane, the plane I got to fly in, End of the Spear, is out there on the flight line right on the southeast corner of Aeroshell Square, along with a bunch of other humanitarian and missionary aviation planes. We're there, itechusa.org.
Gracia?
To see me, I guess the author's corner. I'm kind of hanging there, and every once in a while I'll go sneak away and try to find a place to lay down. Yeah. And
But you're signing your book. And
I'm signing my book, and I love to
talk
to people.
New York Times bestseller, or was?
It was a New York Times bestseller. Thank you to all of you.
Let's get the Amazon numbers back up for that one. Go see her. Yes, Pete, you had one final thought.
We're going to have a booth out here. And we'd love to meet you out there. Beg your pardon?
Building B, northeast corner.
Wings
I knew
you had something going on.
That's right.
All right, Building B, northeast corner. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. Really, really enjoyed it. You made my night. I appreciate it. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you, Miles.